Welcome to the Kate and Colby Show,
where we talk about things that matter,
practice the art of coming more alive,
and reflect on just how strange and wonderful life can be.
We're glad you're here.
Fam, just a little heads up about this episode. So what you're about to listen to is a conversation that we had with our new friend, Tim Whitaker. Tim is the founder of the New Evangelicals. Right there, you might think, what? I'm sorry, huh? Evangelical? Yeah, and so did Colby and I. Evangelical Christianity isn't something we any longer relate to, and it's actually an institution that's caused a lot of harm. We've been speaking out about that for over a decade, distancing ourselves more and more from that movement. It's not a space that we hang out in. And in our lives, and especially in our work that goes public, like this podcast, Colby and I try to live in the tension of staying open to and in relationship with people who think differently than us, while also taking clear sides when it comes to anything having to do with justice and equality for all. We believe that Tim Whitaker is doing good work. He's challenging the status quo. He's speaking up about injustice. He's pushing back against harmful systems and theologies. And Tim is someone, speaking for myself now, I don't have a lot in common with. There were times when we recorded this episode that I wasn't even sure what he was trying to communicate because we speak so differently about the same topics. I disagree with Tim a lot. If I'm honest, I even find myself wishing that he would speak differently about certain things. And I think it was really important to have this conversation and to open up a path for friendship and collaboration with Tim. Because Tim is honestly having an impact in the world that I never will. He's so much more Christian than I am. He has a powerful influence in spaces that I just don't really want to hang out in at all. Listen, I really want evangelical Christians to change. I want them to become open and affirming. I want them to stand against injustice in the world. That feels impossible. Evangelical Christians standing up for justice. The part of why it feels that way, like it's impossible, is because evangelical Christians aren't going to listen to me. But they listen to Tim. Anyway, I think conversations and friendships and collaboration with folks who are so different from us, folks doing work in entirely different areas, those conversations are important. Because if we want the world to become more just, if we want people to change their minds about issues that are imperative to our thriving, conversations with folks who think differently will have to happen. I understand, though, that those conversations aren't always possible because they are not always safe. I myself wouldn't be able to step into conversation with someone who, for instance, thought that I was less than because I'm a woman. I would not be having conversations with John Piper. But Tim Whitaker is so not John Piper. And I think he's truly changing the way that so many folks think about the teachings of John Piper. I think Tim Whitaker is helping people see that there's a better, more just, more loving way. And I'm really glad he is, and I'm glad we got to talk to him. This conversation is safe. There are moments when I got uncomfortable, moments when we disagreed, moments when we challenged Tim, and moments when he challenged us. But it is safe. Also on this week's show, we checked in with viewers by asking them to share what, if any, they missed about their previous church experiences. That was really beautiful. Plus, Colby did a Cocktails with Colby segment that we've edited out of the podcast because it makes the most sense to watch those segments, which you can do on our YouTube or Facebook pages. Before we get to our episode with Tim, we'd like to thank those of you who've become our PodFam baristas and support our show through financial support. your belief in us and in the show, it helps us to cover the costs of putting the Kate and Colby Show together. If you'd like to express your gratitude in this way, you can make a one-time donation or become a monthly supporter by going to buymeacoffee.com/Kate and Colby. Again, that's buymeacoffee.com/Kate and Colby. Okay, that's it for episode introductions. Join us live this Wednesday, May 12th at 7 p.m. as we'll be joined by Emily Scott. Oh, I'm so excited about this. She's the author of For All Who Hunger, a memoir about her experience starting a new inclusive faith community in Brooklyn. Colby and I can't wait to connect with Emily about the pains and the joys of church planting, as well as a vision for how we can build authentic community through something as simple and sacred as eating together. We'll see you then.
And we're here.
Hi, we were just discussing with our guest in the green room whether Colby should grow his beard back out to here or not.
So that's, I guess, our first question.
Whose
for the
team
night
are you on?
Is should Colby's giant beard come back? Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Kate and Colby Show. We're glad you're here tonight. If you want to take a moment to share this with your... Oh, we're muted.
How
do
shouting. We... Oh.
We were muted.
We just said all that to no one.
Good gravy. What is this, Sunday morning at Sojourn?
Yeah, right.
I normally have all these things locked in by
Wednesday. I said things about beards and our guests in the green room.
This was not me rocking a baby. This was me holding a giant beard. We asked you if Colby should grow the beard back out. And then she said other things that we can't go back. Honestly, it's just, it's lost. It's lost to the annals of history, the unknown. Hi, welcome to the Kate and Colby Show. For tonight, we're going to start with our viewer check-in, as we are so often wont to do.
With an awkward question that I don't know about.
Yeah, I hope this might be awkward. I don't know. We'll find out. But that's the time where we invite you to interact and share with us how you're doing. And then, guess what? We're bringing back a cocktail with Colby session. It involves some Cointreau.
And guess what? I see several things from my garden, so I'm actually participating.
Y'all.
And helping.
Soup's fun. And then, tonight, on the show, we have got Timothy J. Whitaker. I don't know what his middle initial is, but I just decided it was J. It sounded good. Timothy J. Whitaker, who is the founder and creator of the Instagram account at the New Evangelicals.
I'm really excited
about
it.
Do we really
this.
Need new evangelicals?
Yes.
Okay. You can't just leave them all behind.
I don't know. I'm excited I'm like, to talk to Tom.
I know. Where'd the name come from? Why? What are you doing? What's happening in your life? So that is what's going to happen tonight. And welcome to the show.
It wasn't just you. We were muted.
Yeah, it wasn't just you.
Sorry
Julie,
about
but
that.
Good evening, James. Top of the evening to ya. Hi, Julie. Yes, as Kate said, it wasn't just you. Irma Jean votes for no beard. That does not surprise me
Team
in
Kate.
The least. But hey.
Stars over my head.
How are you doing?
I'm doing.
You mentioned during the countdown how you
I did.
Showed up. In your outfit.
Oh, I'm doing the like classic quarantine. Although this shirt could kind of go jammy too, actually. But I'm wearing jammies on the bottoms. And then I threw on what for me is a nice shirt. But this is just as dressed up as I get. I don't do dressy. He does dressy. I do cash. Whose team are you on?
Is that reflective of how you're doing today? Or is it just like for tonight? I'm just kind of wondering how you're doing.
I just needed to be cozy. I just realized right before I came downstairs to the studio that I was still wearing my horse clothes. I went horseback riding today.
Yes.
And I just was still in my clothes that I wore horseback riding and the boots that I was wearing. And also then came home from horseback riding and did a bunch of gardening. So I just smelled like horse and soil, which is my favorite thing in the world. And I would have stayed that way. But I felt like sitting this close to Colby, those are not his favorites.
Maybe I should. That's true. That's kind of you. I don't often show the same kindness with smells. I'm sorry.
Talk about that for a bit.
It's been a journey. Still on that journey. Hey, we've got New Zealand in the house. Wow. Hello, Richard Brown. Where'd my mouse go?
New Zealand.
Yeah, what kind of day have I had?
You seem flustered.
I am super flustered.
Is that true to your day?
Okay. No, I'm super flustered. I'm trying a few new things tonight to try to solve some
Shocker.
Other problems.
Always try right?
To try and solve some other problems, but then it introduces new challenges. Why can't I ever just leave good enough alone?
It's not who you are, my sweet.
It's not who I are.
Man. Also, I did a thing while you were working on some other stuff.
What did you do?
And now the people may have possibly seen all of this.
Oh, did you do like a little BTS? Cool. Where is that at? On our gram?
And Facebook.
Oh, okay. Cool. So, yeah. We have things happening here. but yeah.
I told them not to tell you, and then I told you. So.
This is my favorite part here, is that we've got, holding up the little iPad screen, we have
Fellowship
of the Ring, Two Towers, and Return of the King, like the
Oh, I didn't show them our recycling corner, so.
No one should see the recycling corner. All right, let's check in with our viewers. Everybody,
all right, what you got for us
pull out your bass.
Me and my awkward ukulele bass.
And here's the question for tonight. We're going church nostalgia. And I'm wondering if you'd share with us what's something, if anything, that you miss from a previous church experience. And feel free to go anywhere back into your history. This could be as a child growing up. This could be teenage years. This could be last year if you were part of a church recently and no longer. Like, what is something that you miss from any number of your previous church experiences?
I like this question a lot. I also one time wrote an entire intro to a sermon that was just a list of things I miss about my old church. And yet I'm sitting here trying. So you would think I could come up with something quickly. I'm sitting here trying to think, what was in that long list that was my entire intro to my sermon? I miss this feels vulnerable. Oh, I was like, why do I hear us twice? I'm sorry. I have my phone blasting this out that way. I miss prayer. I miss people praying without making fun of it and rolling their eyes and getting all triggered and angry. I miss the kind of prayer where we were just like, let's pray. And we all like cared, and the way that prayer gathered people around and made people close and all caring about one thing at one time. Sure, tons of things to make fun of about it. Tons of things that are theologically unsound. Tons of things that have caused us all harm. And I don't see progressives doing that same. I can't even describe it. It's indescribable for me. That same kind of gathering and intentional closeness and taking the moment seriously. I miss that. That felt really vulnerable to say, so don't take that.
I love that you shared it.
Oh, people are sharing.
Because it was honest and vulnerable. And it matches up a little bit with something I've been thinking about lately. About.
Did you already put some?
No, I haven't put anything on the screen yet. I haven't really looked at them yet. Go ahead.
No, share. Oh, okay.
Well, I was just going to say lately, hymns and felt. Yeah, hymns. I miss hymns sometimes. Although we do beer and hymns at our church, so that's fun. But no, you talk about prayer. Lately, I have been conscious of how, especially since the pandemic, that prayer hasn't hardly become part. Like we've lost that component from our Sunday morning services. And then I love even how you're saying sort of in a larger kind of more meta prayer conversation. Yeah, in our sweet little progressive community, we have, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. It's complicated for all sorts of really good reasons. And I'm with you. Like, I miss it. I miss. There was something about.
Making me cry.
Okay, what's.
Taking communion directly from you or Colby, everyone holding hands at the benediction.
Let's not call that a previous church experience just yet. No. Yeah, I really love that though, Kate. I would love to keep having that conversation, especially as we get back into IRL here, about more prayer in our services.
Probably being an assistant youth pastor and interacting with the kids and planning the games. I like that. Youth group was fun. I miss
youth group. Was fun. I think one of the things that I missed from my previous church experiences was the big pageantry around Christmas time. Like, I don't miss how much it consumed our life.
Yeah, we have new rule. No Christmas anything.
We don't do giant Christmas Eve services anymore.
We don't do that.
And at the same time, I missed, especially those 2 years of Salem Alliance, just the giant production with the choirs and the lights. And you didn't see me for a month. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I missed that. Yeah.
Your bro says singing and playing guitar on a stage.
Uh-huh. That's fair. Our guest tonight is a drummer and, and has done worshipful drumming for many years.
The best kind. Worshipful drumming. Christian drumming, not secular drumming.
Vacation Bible school, Susan says. It's fun to teach.
Vacation Bible school just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Gives you the heebie-jeebies?
Yeah, but I just had a bad experience. I know that other people had so much fun at Vacation Bible School.
I had a bad experience.
That was beautiful.
That was. Thank you all for sharing. And part of why we are, this was the question tonight, is because we're talking to Tim from the New Evangelicals. So if you just joined us, that's what we're doing here tonight. All right, let's go ahead and move on. And now let's go to a segment that we have.
Holy cow. Really quick, before we go to your next segment,
I'm ready.
I have a bone to pick with you. What does that mean, a bone to pick? That sounds gory, gruesome.
I have a bone to pick. What does that mean?
That sound terrible?
Will someone look that up, the origin or the etymology of bone to pick?
You are such a goober. You went all over the social medias this week saying that last week in our show that I admitted that we need the transition thing. I did not. That is not what happened. That is not what happened. I made you play the transition because I knew we couldn't get out of the scene without you doing that. And I knew you'd do it anyway. Not because I was saying, oh, you're right. We need transition.
Is it possible that I heard what I wanted to hear?
Yes,
that I experienced what I wanted to experience in that moment? Because yes, my lived experience last week was that you intuited that a transition would be really helpful in that moment.
Yeah, but the second I said what I said, you got all excited and like freaked out. And I'm like, I know why he's freaking out, but he's wrong. That's not what just happened. And then once you think that, there's no talking to you. And then you blasted it all over the socials.
I did. Then I took
and
a
said,
screen.
Said that's what happened. That's not what happened. Anyway, to your segment.
Cool. Awesome.
And
all
I'm
right.
happy that at least my garden ingredients are on the table.
I am very happy for that too. Let's move on to some cocktails, shall we? This has been Cocktails with Colby. Moving on. That really is yummy.
It's so good.
All right, before we get to our guest, we just want to let you know that if you would like, I don't ever remember where the buttons are. If you would,
there's so many.
So many. If you'd like, yes, I am. I think I am. If you'd like to support the Kate and Colby show, because this is a free show, free podcast, then you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Kate and Colby. And you can do just one time donation, one time gifts, like just buy a coffee. I think each coffee is $5, or you can do multiple coffees. So say you like the show and you just want to thank us and thank the guest by extension. And you can just go there and leave a little thanks. Or you can say, hey, you know what? This is a show that I routinely get stuff out of and appreciate, and it is good for me, and I want to support it, and I want to say thank you. You can also become a monthly supporter, which, by the way, we have a monthly barista. We have a new one coming in this week. So a special special shout out to Julie. Thank you, Julie, for believing in us and supporting us.
Yeah, y'all, this has helped so much, because this was truly an investment, something that years ago we said we'll just pour money into and trust that someday it will all work out. And you are the someday and the working out.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's get to our guest.
I'm excited.
This is enough.
This is always my favorite part
all right.
of the show.
Here we go.
I'm
Let's do
excited.
It. And you've been brought in. Oh, wow. It's us behind us.
Impressive.
Oh,
thank you. Weird. Impressive until it got to this scene, which clearly...
Why?
Why is it us and
there's
then
my,
us?
There's my fork.
That's kind of cool.
Ed.
That's like some portal action right there.
Wow. That's what it was supposed to be. Oh, did you go above and get double cape?
Yeah, it was real fun.
Okay, well, that was not anticlimactic. It was just paraclimactic. It was a type of climax next to the one we expected. Hi, Tim Whitaker. Welcome to the Kate and Colby Show.
Hello.
Welcome to the garage.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
Not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you partake in drinks? Do you imbibe from time to time?
Well, sometimes I do now. I grew up in a non-alcoholic house. I'm not really a huge beer guy or anything like that, but occasionally I definitely partake. Honestly, I'm a total, I don't even know, like, I guess wimp. I like Screwball whiskey, which is pretty much like straight sugar peanut butter.
Yes, that's correct.
And then I like, you know, like, I like hard ciders and Mike's Hard Lemonade. That's pretty much it. So
I love it.
You do you,
that's
baby.
That's my life.
You do I love you. It.
I have no shame.
Mike's Hard Lemonade, the first like 10 years of our marriage was Mike's Hard Lemonade.
That was how it all began.
That's how it all
slippery
began.
Slope. Next thing you know, you're making your own drug. Margaritas, Sam. You're growing your own
and
food.
And calling a Christian.
Just to make your own drinks. Fun fact, Screwball is made in San Diego.
Oh, the peanut butter.
The peanut butter whiskey.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's true.
Thank you, San Diego. It's great.
You're welcome. So you can get a little buzz on peanut
You're welcome.
Butter.
Like, we're San Diego. We don't make it.
Okay, so Tim Whitaker, you are the founder and creator and currently sustainer of the Instagram account at the New Evangelicals, which I believe you said that you started it in like December. So you're about 5 months or so into this endeavor. And I think when I checked this afternoon, it's something at like 12,000 followers.
12.6,
which is a pretty phenomenal growth for a platform.
Yeah, remember last week I said, I feel like he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's why that feeling of like, where'd you come from?
So it's possible that some people watching us tonight or listening back to this later. What up, Pod Fam? It's possible that some people know who you are and or at least know of your account. But for those who don't, would you tell us what the heck are you doing? What is the New Evangelicals?
I'm spending too much time on Instagram. That's what I'm doing.
I love that answer.
I'm amazed at how often
I'm on there a lot.
Okay, really quick before he answers for himself, I do want to really quick interject and read the New Evangelicals' little Instagram bio because I love it. I'm obsessed with it. Learning backwards to go forward. Mm. How great is that sentence?
Yeah.
Like, this is a list of things they do. Yeah. Learning backwards to go forward. Love that. We're deconstructing. Now we're living in the tension of it all. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Here. Committed to King Jesus. Have questions about that. Excited to ask you. Check out our podcast. Okay. Now you.
I mean, I guess that sums it up. I just changed that recently because it used to say we're deconstructing, now we're reconstructing. But after thinking about that terminology, I decided that tension is more accurate. Phil Drysdale would say that when you're deconstructing, you're automatically reconstructing. And I tend to agree with that. So I thought that saying in the tension of it all is more, I think, poignant. Like, yes, we are in tension with all this. And tension's not a bad thing. Our culture doesn't like tension. But as Jesus people, we have to love tension because that's all we should be living in all the time.
I love it. I love the changing it to living in the tension. I love the idea of, he said, I tend to agree with that. That phrase, I tend to agree with it, is so great because that's living in tension. I tend to agree.
Yeah.
Tend. Sometimes. Sometimes tend I do. Sometimes I don't.
Exactly.
It's great.
Yeah, so that's how I started the account. You know, it's a long story. We can get into it if you want, but I started in December. I just knew that I wanted to have a very interactive approach, and I wanted to make this about a community as much as possible on social media because I come from a really deep background of real, genuine, one-on-one relational community with people in my life. And so I know you can never replicate that whole thing, but I wanted to be very engaging and hear from people and share their thoughts anonymously as like on a story. And that's why I always have so many stories usually happening, because I'll throw out a topic and people respond, and I'll just screenshot as many as is reasonable. I mean, now it's, you can't get to all of them. It's impossible. Right. But, you know, I'll share maybe up to 100 in a day. People could just go through them and just see like, oh, it's, I'm not the only person thinking about this or having this experience or whatever it is. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what helped, you know, maybe kind of kickstart some of this, is people were like, oh, I see myself in this. I'm not alone. This is maybe more common than I thought.
Yeah.
I want to get involved.
Yeah.
So take us back to, there was a moment in your life when you didn't have this account. Okay. So that was maybe 7 months ago. And then there was a moment where you maybe thought of the term or thought of the phrase or thought of the concept. And then you took that to Instagram and you're like, the handle's available, and you opened it up. Why did you go from this thing didn't exist to it now does exist?
Yeah, I sat on this for a little bit, a couple months probably. I remember that one of the moments that really sparked this for me is it was October of 2020, that time frame, September, October. And I was reading like something that Sean Foyt said, and I was just like really frustrated with what Sean Foyt was saying.
No,
I want to preface that one of my things I think is should be said. I know that we assume this, but I don't think all of us do, is that, you know, it's important that we don't dehumanize people. And Sean Foyt is still, you know, made in God's image. He's still a human being. He still bleeds, right? So it's not about really dehumanizing him, but what he was saying and what he was standing for, I thought was just so problematic. And I have a long history of this, right? Like 2016, I think for a lot of us, put us in this framework. I've been having these conversations before all this. So there's a lot of history here, but I remember the pandemic and all this stuff. And I was like, I'm just so sick of this. Like, this is just crazy. We need a new something, like a new movement, because I know that I'm not the only person thinking this way. And this cannot be like what Christianity is known for. It's so antithetical to even like a surface level Sermon on the Mount reading, like just surface level, forget even diving into the context.
Tim, can you just give us the third, for those who don't know Sean or what you're referencing, can you give us the 30 sure. second who just who is yeah. that, and why did his content activate this stuff in you?
Yeah, fair point. Sean Foyt is a previous Bethel worship leader, and he's kind of went on his own. He ran for Congress in California. I don't think he got elected. And he really kind of exploded during the pandemic, because he was, I think, one of the first more popular people in Christendom to say these restrictions, these mask mandates are tyranny, and we can't worship publicly. And don't forget, Bethel, you know, for them, worship is music, worship is event, worship is big and loud and bold. And I think Sean really took that and said, we're going to stand. And he started this movement called Let Us Worship. And it really took off. I mean, it really did. And so Sean is very loud. And now, even today on his social media platforms, he's very in lockstep with, like, I would say, pretty far right ideology, politically speaking.
Yeah.
So I'm watching Sean, you know, be this loud, you know, voice, and people just loving it. And that's why I really thought to myself, I just can't do this anymore. Like, I have to find a better way to talk about this. I had a previous podcast that was a little bit smaller. I had friends, you know, I vented on my Facebook and got in trouble with leadership at my church and stuff, you know. But I had this like moment.
Must put a pin in that.
I said, all my favorite people get in trouble with leadership from Facebook.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But you know, I had this moment where I said, we need a new evangelical movement, like a new evangelicals. I was like, you know, Tim, I'm not going to say that was inspiration, because I don't know where I stand with that anymore, but that was something. So I should maybe see if it's taken. And it wasn't taken on Instagram. There was no podcast, not even the URL. So I'm like, well, might as well grab these things just in case. And then I wrote up these like statements out of, again, frustration of like what we believe. Like, okay, if I was going to say something like what I believe on all these different issues, on the environment, on life, on sexuality, on the Bible, what would it be? And it was like, just a moment of clarity. I just wrote them out. And that was kind of the foundational belief. And then honestly, the truth of the matter is, I'm not sure if you guys know who the account Christians Who Curse Sometimes on Instagram. No. It's like a big meme account. He's like 80,000 followers. We became friends on Instagram, and he's before I even started the account. And he said, dude, you got to launch this. Like, you just need to do it. And I was pretty terrified for a lot of reasons, but eventually I did. I just said, I got to go for it and swing the bat. And the rest is kind of history.
So thanks for sharing. So if I understand, there was a bit of push and pull happening for you. So correct me if at any point this doesn't sound like it's reflecting you accurately. You were sort of pushed, repelled away from a type of Christianity that fit within this sort of evangelical rubric that sort of was, you know, personified in Sean Foyt and other characters, which was sort of the final activating pin for you. So you're sort of repelled against that, but you were then also pulled toward, it sounds like, is there a creative engine that we can maybe still, because I want to talk about why you use the, why evangel, like why not just leave that behind?
I know.
So there's a part of it that you want to sort of bring with you. So I hear you saying that there was a bit of a push and a bit of a pull, and deep within you, there was just this sense of, I can't be the only one. I know I'm not the only one. What if I created this space online that allowed other people who felt a similar push and pull to find each other and then do what? So did I accurately surmise that? And then what were you hoping that people would do when they found you?
You are accurate. The word I use is tension. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I had this push and pull.
Yeah.
And I'll say tension a lot tonight. It's just a habit now. And I don't know, really. I just knew I had to go for it. I just had to say, I knew I've been in church my whole life, like my whole life. I knew I wasn't the only person thinking this way. I just knew that. I mean, via either personal friends who work at churches still, who we have private conversations, right?
Right.
I'm sure you know who we're talking about. I'm sure you have some of those too. To people online, of course, that you can find, even some big names, like even like Russell Moore, right? He's evangelical, but like he's been really on the forefront of pushing against Trump ideology. So they're out there. So I just knew I got to just go and put my thoughts out here just trust that like I'm not the only person thinking this.
We have to pause because I'm just having a moment over here. I'm realizing that. So Kolb and I left evangelicalism and everything about it and the whole culture, everything. I want to put years on it because it matters to the story of what I'm getting at.
2011 is when we left Arizona.
Okay. So that was when ties were real cut. So 10 years, yeah. A good 10 years. And have basically kind of like a pause button was pushed. So in our minds, everything is still just kind of the way it was then.
Interesting. Within evangelical.
Yes, because then we just left and like now I don't know. Like I know big news stories. I barely know who Sean Foyt is, like I just because people have referenced him being like an anti-masker and that's it.
Mark Driscoll's still cool, right? No, I'm just kidding.
No, but like, so it's pushed past for us, right?
Popular.
So time has kind of stopped for us. And then we went to this whole other world and like have just been immersed in it. And you just alluded to like people who are evangelical, but who have been like speaking out against Trumpism or like are saying these other things. And in my head, it's still frozen in time that evangelicalism is just this one voice. That's it. The thing that we left 10 years ago. So you're saying there's folks out there who are not that, like evangelicalism isn't, that's the moment I'm having of like, oh, maybe there's more going on and I just don't pay attention to it because I haven't been part of it in a long time.
Well, what I'm saying is that the evangelical movement, you have to understand, and I don't want to be too long-winded here because I know there's
so much
to get to, but you have to understand the history. The evangelical movement was not always fundamentalist right-wing. It was very diverse. Mm-hmm. Dr. David Gushee wrote the book Changing Our Mind about him changing his perspective from a non-affirming stance in the LGBTQ community to affirming. He wrote literally the book on Christian ethics for college students called Kingdom Ethics. Okay. And he wrote a book recently called Post-Evangelicalism, where he says that he was always center left in the evangelical space. And for a lot of years, that was fine. So you have to understand like the history in America of the evangelical movement was not always what we see now. It's really been taken over by fundamentalism that it has taken over evangelicalism. All right. And so what's happening is now that they're losing a lot of their power and sway, like the SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, they're under a huge
friend Anissa
right
just said
sides.
Like Beth Moore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Beth Moore. Yeah. Beth Moore's one, but you have to understand the SBC in particular. They have people who are conservative who are saying we're under attack. Let's push it more conservative. Then you have people who are saying we're leaving, like Beth Moore. So the SBC is like they're just who knows. So this has been this way for a long time. I just think that they've been so buried under very, 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 very loud conservative evangelical voices like the Franklin Grahams, the Al Mohlers, et cetera, who have just had a larger platform. Mm. You know, the SBC was pro-choice when abortion first got legalized in the 70s. You can look up their old documents.
Yeah, no,
yes,
no. I do know that from all my
including
studies,
for the mental health of the mother. That was one of the reasons they affirmed a woman's right to choose.
Truth.
So I'm just making the point, and we can rest into that later. But I'm making the point. Yes.
That's just 50 years ago.
There's been a real takeover.
Holy cow.
Real takeover.
Yeah, this is so important.
There's a lot more here.
Yes, I'm really glad I paused you because this is actually huge for me. And it's one of the reasons why I was so excited to have you on our show is because I don't know if this will resonate, but I feel very convicted by this. Like, I realized that basically, so I grew up in the hardcore fundamentalism. And to me, if you grow up in it, what can happen, it sounds like it didn't happen to you and you are a blessing to me because you're teaching me right now, but what can happen is that you think that that's just, that it's not fundamentalism, that it's just mainstream and that that's all there is. And that is the belief that when I left fundamentalism, I just walked in and didn't bother to investigate or to really do much else with. I just went to my progressive thing and hung out and was happy in my own echo chamber. And I'm like actually teary right now about the way that he's like he keeps saying you have to understand. And that might sound aggressive to folks, but I want you to like stop, because if you're triggered by it, like don't be, because what it's doing for me is it's, you do have to understand. I need to understand. Like, understanding is the key to love and compassion and growth. And I'm realizing that I haven't understood that there's so many worlds out there that aren't the polarized opposites that I've been living in. Does that make sense? I'm having a real moment over here.
If you don't mind, Kate, can I respond to that real quick?
Please.
I am from New Jersey. We speak very directly. So
no,
I
love
to,
it.
I don't mean to come across aggressive to your listeners.
No.
I know that you guys
are just
good.
She's just
trust me.
Hawk,
so. I love it. I am like you. So no, I talk the same way they're used to me.
I wanted to say that you leaving fundamentalism is not a sign of weakness or like, oh, you didn't stick it out. I mean, fundamentalism is really damaging, right? Purity culture is really damaging. I hear daily, I'm sure you do too, the stories, the bodies, right? The that fundamentalism and conservative evangelicalism have left behind. I grew up homeschooled for 9 years in a fundamentalist church. Okay. So I get all of that. I don't know why my journey was this way. I don't know why my wiring allows for me to function this way, but I totally get that for many people, they have to find Jesus in new spaces, right? And we need that because we need other perspectives in the Christian faith to keep moving forward, right? Yeah. The unity is in that, is in diversity. It's not in conformity. So we do need the Kate and Kobe's, right, of the world. But we also need like the Russell Moore's of the world, you know, and because they can always teach us something. So it's important to have that. Now, obviously there's a line of when things become harmful and we can touch on that. But I just want to say, like, don't feel like, maybe guilty. You're like, oh, I didn't stick out. I didn't stay with it. You weren't supposed to.
Yeah.
The good of your own mental health being.
Well said. I love every word you just said. And I should clarify that for me, conviction and guilt are two very different things. I just feel convicted to stop living in such an, like, it blows my mind to think about all of the history of evangelicalism and just the very fact that you call yourself the new evangelicals. Like, I need that in my life.
That was why.
You know? Yeah.
That was why. You know, evangelical means announcing the good news, right?
Yeah.
Like it means like, hey, that was the whole foundation, is that we're going to be people who say good news to the world. We've lost that. All we give is bad news. We give hate. We give judgment. We give just, you know, condemnation. That is what the evangelical machine exports. And we have data to prove that. The Barna Group book, Unchristian, documents how culture sees that Christians are more what they're against, what they're for.
Yeah.
So we can document that this is not just in our heads. This is like real data. So it's a massive problem. And I think that's why I called it New Evangelicals. I'm like, we need a new movement, committed to King Jesus. So that's just what I'm trying to do.
What does that mean to be committed to King Jesus? And I know that's a big question.
I've been working through that the past couple of years. I'm a big Bible Project Tim Mackey guy. and N.T. Wright. They're both amazing scholars who have done amazing work on just, man, really, really. I mean, Tim Mackey in particular has really saved my faith for a lot of reasons. But they really point that the biblical authors were really, especially the epistles, you know, Paul and the authors of the Gospels, are more talking about Jesus as king more than savior. King meaning that the one of the Christian hopes is that we believe that one day Jesus will come back as king, as ruler in a healthy way, not in a tyrannical way, and that Christians and people who want to be part of that kingdom, whether they label themselves Christians or not, can co-rule with Jesus. It's very much a Genesis 1 restoration image. And so I like saying King Jesus because, number one, a lot of Christians don't use that terminology. That's number one, right? And number two, I think it's a more accurate depiction of what the gospel writers are trying to get us to. Like, hey, the new humanity has started with the resurrection. There's something that has changed. It's the world's still really broken. But we're trying to push in this tension of, we know we can never reach maybe perfection, but we're going to do our best to be part of this Jesus movement that wants equity for people that are made in the image of God, and that we trust one day things will get really, what is bent will become straight. I mean, that's more of the language that we see in the Bible, more than sin and evil. That really the language is that the world is crooked and that one day God will make it straight. And we want to be part of that movement with him.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I know for me, and I think for us and some of our viewers and listeners, the language of King Jesus can be a bit clunky for reasons having to do with sort of a growing awareness of how patriarchy has infiltrated and jacked up culture for a really long time. And so using phrases that sort of conjure up a monarchy, a king, sort of a male dominating ruling figure, it's hard for me, I would say, to use language like that without it sort of bringing in the sort of patriarchal world that it was both birthed out of and still sits within. So I think that's part of why I have, because I actually remember, as you were talking about N.T. Wright, I'm like, oh yeah, I went through a big N.T. Wright phase. And I only say phase not in a patronizing way, just to let you know that there was a period of time where he was like my gateway drug out of evangelicalism, right? It was like Brian McLaren and then N.T. Wright. I'm like, there's a whole new world of theology out here.
Right.
And so so I'm totally with you theologically on about the sort of distinction between the king and sort of this post-life savior figure. But I just wonder if, you know, how that lands with you to consider the way that that sort of nomenclature and titles is just really hard to reconcile with the way that I think patriarchy has negatively impacted our culture.
And empire, right?
Yeah.
King makes you think.
Oh, empire.
Patriarchy. Yeah. Empire. Yeah. Patriarchy. Yeah. Like, I can't get past it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, you know, that's such a great point because I feel like a lot of us are trying to find new language to communicate what we're trying to communicate, right? Yeah, so it's totally. Like, okay, maybe like King Jesus, like maybe for our cultural context and for our audience does trigger, right, these thoughts of like a dictator or a ruler. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, Jesus was also really like the suffering servant. That's how he was king. You know, he was king by dying, right? So maybe it's like the idea of how do we... And it's hard on social media, right? You see, committed to King Jesus, you have to fill in the blanks there, right?
Everything's no, like, hard saying, on social media.
You had us at hard on social media,
I think that just makes the point of how indoctrinated we are in evangelical patriarchal culture to think that king means like tyrant, especially because, again, in my view, like I really think that one of the big focuses is that this king that the Jews were waiting to come back and like take over Rome is in, you know, the Christian worldview, Jesus, who ended up being murdered and persecuted and killed by the state. So like through nonviolence is how he conquers, so to speak, right? We're using really Like that is, you know, very triggering language for some, but it's really an upside down idea of all of this.
Yes.
And that's what makes, I think, the Jesus person, you know, whether people see him as deity or as human, it doesn't matter in the sense of he is known, right? Like this Jesus person made an impact that has affected us all the way to now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I think maybe that's how I would talk about it, but I'm still in process. Like a good example is, you know, some of my like what we believe statements that I have on my Instagram account, I reworked them recently, about 2 weeks ago. I came out and was like, hey, I rethought some of these. Here's some wording I would change. I put it on a highlight so it's there forever. So it's just like, you know, I think we're all in process and it's a matter of just trying to be give and take for each other, right? So yeah, that's a great point that I think you bring up, Kobe, of like, yeah, maybe King Jesus for our context is hard for some people. So how can I better communicate what I'm trying to say, you know, more like clearly, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I love this so, so much. I love everything you both are saying. And Shane's comment that I'm going to put it on the screen again because I can do whatever I want. Yeah. It's my show. Yeah. I think
you are the titular character.
I think his comment sums up for me everything I've been thinking while you two have been talking. For my part, I consider King Jesus in the social context of the time where Caesar worship. I'm putting it up again, third time, because I'm the host, I can do what I want. Where Caesar worship was the thing of the day, I see it as something of a resistance against empire in itself. The thing of the day was you have to say Caesar is Lord, and the whole idea of saying that Jesus is Lord or King, whatever, was resistance against empire. Yeah. So, which I think sums up everything.
And that ties into, I think, so much of what we would probably agree on ethically of like, we have to resist American empire, right? We have to resist, you know, like the politics of that, right? We have to resist these corporate monsters that are literally oppressing people financially. Yeah. So that I think is like, that is the upside down kingdom. And for some reason, seeing my own evangelical tradition do the opposite, embrace that kingdom and use the power of the empire to oppress and to kind of, you know, just shove their... It's terrible. I mean, it's why I started this account, right? It's why.
What first lit a fire under you? Like, how did you get to the point where you started?
Yeah. If Sean was the final straw, what was, do you remember some of the first straws?
What were the first times you were sitting there thinking, I'm sorry, what?
I mean, how long do you have?
As long as you want. It's our show. We do what we want. No.
Great. No, I'm down. My wife and kid are in bed. I have time. So, yeah, the long story short, like some of the major points, I've been part, when I was 18, I'm 32 now, I was part of a community called 11th Hour, and they were really fundamental. They weren't a church plant, they weren't a small group, they were somewhere in between, and it was just like 40 of us who were just really committed to like Jesus at the time and like each other, and it was really beautiful, and we were allowed to be intention, and we started really deconstructing church. That was the beginning. Mm. I wouldn't use that term then. It was more rethinking it, right? Like, but
like the institution.
What is church? What does it mean for us? Is there more than one way to do it? You know, why is it always an event-based thing? So that was the beginning of me rethinking like my faith, right? Because that eventually led into books. Rob Bell, you know, all these gateway drug books, right?
Yep.
Bell, Brian McLaren. And then, I mean, as I just grew and thought and processed and met people who weren't like me, I just started kind of seeing like...
I don't know if you got that.
Yeah, I did not.
When you talked about Rob Bell and Brian McLaren as being like the gateway, Kate said, you know, the hard lemonades of the... the hard lemonade being the gateway into the bourbons and the tequilas. So...
That's right.
Thank you, Rob and Brian, for being our mics. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Go on. That's exactly right. So I've been thinking this way for a while, but I would say the real big ones that for me just pushed me over the edge of like, okay, forget like trying to like word this gently. I just have to call it out. By far the 2016 election. I mean, that was one of the big ones.
Yeah.
Watching my faith, you know, especially when the comments, when Trump's horrible, vile comments came out about his, you know, talking about women so inappropriately, I thought to myself, oh, this is actually a good thing that this came out because now the evangelical church will have to say like, yes. Well,
sweet,
we really made a mistake.
That's
here,
so
you know,
cute of
like,
you.
I know I was so naive and with watch so many people. And again, it's not just like in the pews, although it is, it's leaders. I mean, it is people, Jerry Falwell, we don't need a pastor in chief. We need a commander in chief. It's like, what is happening to my faith? I mean, we are Judas, right? Like, we are just selling. We're selling our own Messiah, risen and crucified Messiah, for power. It's the same concept. So that was a big one. And the other one that really pushed me more down the rabbit hole of, like, we have to rethink social systems and social injustice was, honestly, more recently, I'm sorry to say it, but it was the Ahmaud Arbery, the George Floyd, the Breonna Taylor, you know, those big stories. Like, that for me, something in my brain, it just broke. And I was like, this is it. I cannot sit by idly seeing this and not saying anything. Like, something has to change. I have to educate myself. I have to understand that there are different Americas for different people. And that's a reality. That's not Marxism. That's not communism. That's not CRT. That's just a reality for people. And then we can talk about, like, what that means, right? But that those were some of the big ones for me that were just, okay, something needs to give in my life. Mm-hmm. Especially considering I was, you know, part of an evangelical church for a lot of years that was very front-facing, you know, very professional. We were a smaller congregation, about 800 people, but we ran like we were like 5,000, you know, I mean, everything, lower thirds, the graphics, Ableton, automation, you know, we did it all. And I love that. But I thought to myself, is this what it's about? Is this like is this the Jesus thing I'm signing up for, to play drums in like these really professional settings the rest of my life and calling it like loving my neighbor? That doesn't make any sense. So those are some of the big ones for me.
Wow. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It's really neat to talk to someone whose journey of those things is more recent, and then the humility that you hold that with is gorgeous for me. Yeah. It's really, really beautiful.
Thanks for sharing that, Tim. One of the things that was coming up for me as you were sharing was, you might have said it during our tech run through, or maybe some other parts. I don't know if our viewers caught it, but you identify as a 6 on the Enneagram, the loyalist. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking what that was like. So I guess my question is, what did that feel like for you? Because a 6 throws themselves into, like, they find the security in sort of the external, like, give me direction, give me what to lead in, and then I will help that thing kind of make happen. What was that like for you on a feelings level to watch the thing that you had sort of acquiesced to with an authority in your life then reveal itself to be what it did?
Untrustworthy.
Yeah, what did that feel like for you?
You know, I don't know if I really have any feelings like of betrayal as a loyalist with like the institutional, like I call it the AEC, American Evangelical Church, when like the Trump stuff happened. It was that kind of stuff happened later on in my life with, like, you know, like actual, like, personal church hurt, right? Like, when, like, actual people that I, like, you really said it well, Kobe, like a type 6 is, okay, I love what you're doing. Now let me just throw gasoline on it and blow this up because I am all in like 1,000,000,000%, right? Like, I will live and breathe that. That is me to a T, which also makes this new evangelical thing so much scarier for me because I don't like starting things on my own. I like knowing I have one other person like involved or like it was someone else's idea. Mm-hmm. So like doing this by myself is actually, it's very, it's a growth thing for me, right? Like trusting myself again, because type 6s don't trust themselves. And when you combine that with how I grew up, a very Calvinistic perspective of the Christian faith that your heart is always wicked and deceitful. Yeah. It's a pretty deadly recipe for like always distrusting yourself, right?
Yeah.
So like even this evangelical thing on a different level is
you don't make any trust. Sense. How is he him?
He's an enigma and I love it. I love you, sweet enigma.
That's incredible. Yeah,
so I don't know. You know, I'm relationally, I'm really a loyalist, like to a fault. And now I just own it. I made a joke to my wife. I'm like, I'm going to out-loyal people. Like, that's like my goal. Like, I will out-loyal you. You have to kick me to the curb and block me. So I will always be there. And that's just, now I just embrace it. Like, it just is what it is. It's just who I am. It's one of my superpowers. Everyone has them. That one just happens to be mine. Right. And so it's just like, I just roll with it now. And that's just, it is what it is.
Is it okay if I turn into the last couple of days and weeks of your life? So
For sure.
I only know this because when I was getting ready for tonight, I'm like, I should get a little bit of the 411 on Timmy Dubs. And so I pulled up the new
About all his nicknames. It's just what he does.
I assume it's people call you Timmy Dubs. It'd be a shock to me if you're like, no, it's the first time.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sounds like a very Jersey nickname. So, So I pulled up the recent episode of your podcast, New Evangelical Podcast, and I was I was surprised on a number of levels. So big picture, I'll just sort of tell the viewers and tell you what I heard, and then I want to talk to you about it, is that Tim was recently invited by the leaders at his church to no longer be a part of ministry at his church because of his work with the New Evangelicals. Like, because he was...
I'm sorry, are you just copying their language? Invited to no longer... I'm so sorry. I think I'm having a trauma response right now. Invited to no longer.
That's my way of sort of
putting that's it. That's how church words.
Yes, like Tim, we're gonna need you.
That's a great church way of putting it.
It's time for you to transition out of our church.
We invite you to not have a job anymore. Yeah, how does that sound?
Please don't check do yes your or thing no here anymore. And like this just recently happened to you, so you're like you're
wow
you're in it. You are in sort of the post. These were my friends whom I did six loyal to. And now as a result of me following, I'm going to say following the God that was within you saying, Tim, here's a thing I want you to birth God in the world. Will you listen? Will you listen? Will you listen? And you said, yeah, okay. As a result of that, now this organization and these really, I would imagine more the people, the relationships have now said to you, yeah, we're not cool with that. So now you're stuck in this place of like, and I'm wondering, are you questioning, did I mishear God? I don't think you did, but I'll give you the option. It might feel like that sometimes. I'll tell you this. If you don't feel it now, speaking from experience, the night might come where you're like, maybe I did just,
maybe
I totally did hear it all wrong. Yeah. But you're stuck in this place now of realizing that the thing you threw your life into, the people you threw your life into, they had a condition, and that condition was a certain allegiance to a particular way of talking about the faith. And there are some things that can be said, some questions that can be asked, some ideas that can be challenged that will be too much for them to where they will invite you to cease being a part of the community. So that's kind of what his recent podcast was.
I had
was
no
sharing
idea. I'm so glad that you brought it up, because I would have been heartbroken if I hadn't known that. Like, if we'd finished the episode and I hadn't known that. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
So sorry, first of all. Ugh, so sorry.
The worst. And we empathize with you, like, in every possible way that people can empathize. I'm so sorry. Did you think you were in a place? You don't have to answer anything that we ask, by the way. But did you think you were in a place where you were safe to do this work? Did it feel like
Okay, so let's see. First off, I'm down to answer everything. There's no really secrets going on. I will say this publicly. I've said it so many times. You know, both of the pastors who I have come to know at that church, I still believe are good people. It wasn't malicious. They were pretty sensitive about it, you know, given the circumstances. It wasn't like, hey, we can't stand you, get out of here. It was a lot of, you know, you can tell that they're very torn up about it themselves. I talked to one of my pastors just a few days ago. We're gonna get coffee in 2 days to kind of talk through what just happened. So, you know, it's not like there's like this bitterness here. There's just a lot of hurt, you know, and that could even be worse, I think, for me, because bitterness makes me feel like at least I'm right, but hurt is just like there's just no good feeling of like, yeah, you guys really screwed me over, right? It's just like, this just hurts. It just stinks. So, you know, people can listen to my podcast, get the full story, because I take a little time to kind of go through it. But essentially, I've been part of this church for 6 years. There's four of us. It's a pastor, a worship pastor, and then two of my other friends who I'm still very close to. We've kind of led like the worship side of things together for the past 6 years. And we've really done, you know, I told you, Kobe, my worship pastor's a type three. So I totally get the lighting. I get everything. I get it to the max. And we did really good stuff. I mean, our live stream sounds top notch. Our production's great. Our band was in such a, I mean, we were so good. We were just so smooth, you know, like it was just, we put the work in, you know what I'm talking about? I'm really talking church language now, but you get it. And on top of that, we really started, well, I came in like 1 year after this started, but we really blew up this thing called Resonate. It was a multi-church worship night that we started that the only function was to get the capital C church to worship together every other month. And we blew that up to involve Over 100 volunteers from 15 different churches every other month. The band was 8 different churches on the stage rotating every time. Wow. So like what I'm saying is I'm from a church, the guitarist is from a different church, bass player is from a different church. And we had a team of like 40 musicians who would rotate. Okay. And on top of that, the nights were getting about 600 people, 60 different churches represented. All right. So I'm also doing this with them as well. So this is like one of my other babies, right? That I'm like, you know, Kobe type 6, right? I'm all in. Let's go. Let's push. And I did. I really helped. I mean, obviously it wasn't all about what I did, but I was one of the main drivers behind this. So that was 6 years of like me really pouring in and, you know, also being a loyalist. That means sharing who I am and saying, listen, I can't do this as like a worker thing. Like this has to be relationally built, not event based built, right? Like a type 3 sometimes can be a little event focused sometimes, but sometimes a type 6 is way more relational focused. No problem. Remember empathy.
That was my very point, charitable right? Way to put it.
So anyway, so I know it's a little long-winded, but I said it because to a degree, yes. Now I've had talks with my senior pastor who's a little bit older. And a great guy. I mean, really is a great guy, but just comes from a very different world. You know, he's just more old school, AG kind of feel, you know, just more like used to things a certain way, but still a good guy. I mean, he marched with us to protest the George Floyd murder. Like he was there. I'm like, wow, this is promising. Like, this is great. So, you know, he's not some like, you know, old grumpy man who will never change. Right. He's a good dude, but still just 40 years of being a lead pastor. It makes you, you know, it wires you to be a certain way.
Yeah.
So we've talked in the past about, you know, my social media posts, even before New Evangelicals. And eventually I just said, listen, I wrote them a letter and I said, hey, this is just who I am. I want to be here. If it's a problem for you, I will resign from like my volunteer time at this church. Now, this is like 6 months ago. Okay. And they told me not to. Like they didn't say it directly, but it was like, hey, no, we love you. We want you here. We shook hands. We hugged. The end. And then a month ago, I got brought in by my senior pastor, and he pretty much said in very kind words, what he said was, I can't have someone on the platform who contradicts what I'm teaching. And what you're doing online, it's not that it's all bad. I just don't think that social media is the best place for it. And I said, well, I feel like you're telling me is that either I resign from what I'm doing now, or I somehow alter or shift or don't do what I'm doing on social media. Nothing was specifically given. It was super ambiguous.
Okay. There wasn't a topic or like there, an area.
The topics were how I talked about the LGBTQ issue and how I talked about tithing, but there was nothing specific given. It was like, there was no, hey, here's the post I'm talking about.
What's up?
My computer is drained down to 5%. I'm like, everything's starting to lag. And I don't know why. I told you I'm trying to do things. Yep. I start. Yeah. No, it's plugged in. It's charged. It's just I think everything I'm doing is doing more than even the computer. So let me try.
Yeah, we don't want to miss any of this.
I know. And the whole computer is about ready to die.
Okay.
So let me turn off sidecar. Oh, my word.
Panic.
We're about ready to just, the whole thing's about to just.
Oh, that'd be terrible. I've paused in my mind where we were
at. Yeah, thank you.
Conversation.
No worries. Good.
Disconnect. So we're going to lose our screen here.
Okay. And hopefully that will keep us alive.
I'm hoping that will reverse the charge. Man, I didn't realize that our battery was going in negative, even though it's plugged in.
How much are you using off that laptop? Holy smokes.
Things we are doing right now.
A lot.
Sidecar. Yeah, it sounds that way.
We have plans for some new equipment. Buymeacoffee.com/Kate and Colby.
I'll have to ask you offline like what you're doing. Because I see all your different camera shots, your graphics, your everything. I'm like, yeah, I got to know what this dude's doing.
Yeah.
Because it's a rig. You should donate to this person, people. This stuff costs a lot of money. It's not cheap.
We're still live, right? You guys got what Tim just said? Okay.
It's good. And
I'm hoping that killing sidecar allowed.
While you're,
Okay. Can you bring him back into where we were?
Oh, are we good for that?
I think so. Let me just watch for a minute.
Okay.
Try to bring.
I will bring him back, but I'm going to pause to say that I put a comment up on the screen from Julie who said, how terrifying and empowering to choose loyalty to your own truth. And that was in response to some of the stuff you were sharing about your journey. And yes. I just wanted to share, because I thought that comment was just gorgeous, terrifying and empowering. I mean, yeah, that's the tension, right? That we all walk in.
Yeah.
And then the way that you've chosen loyalty to your own truth and just chosen to trust, because we do constantly ask, like Colby said earlier, like, is this personal truth? Is it God? Is God cool with it? Is it God's truth too? Like, that question will always be in our heads. Always. I don't think that ever goes away, ever.
Yeah.
No matter how that comes up for us. It comes up for us differently with different personalities and different contexts. But we're always asking that. Is my truth, like, is it conflicting too much with the truth or whatever? And so I just think it's beautiful that even though that, I think that's why it's so important that you constantly use the word tension, because that's the tension of this kind of spiritual life. Mm-hmm. And I think that comment from Julie really well summed that up and just honored the journey that you've been on.
Yeah.
Are we good?
Yeah.
I think we're good. We just went from 5% battery to 6%. So I think we're good. Killing off sidecart was
good job, Shelby. Bravo.
Good gravy.
Okay, so we were like, there are a couple issues that were specific. But like you had thought you were going to be good.
They were just topics. Yeah. They were just topics. Like overview. Like, hey, how you're talking about tithing isn't right. It's like, okay, well, like, what's the post, right?
Yeah.
So long story short, I just said, listen, I'll resign then, right? And I did that for two reasons. Number one, how do you have someone else like manage your content on social media, right? Like, what does that look like going forward? Do I have to run by every post? Like, hey, is this acceptable? Yep. It makes no sense.
Yep.
And number two, I don't know how I feel about the idea of a senior or any kind of pastor dictating to a volunteer what they do with their social media account, right? I just felt like, especially over what I would say would be secondary theological perspectives. Like, I know in the progressive space, the deity of Jesus and the resurrection are like debated. For me, I believe in the resurrection, a physical resurrection, which is very conservative theologically, you know, especially in academia. I affirm that. So it's like, I'm telling my pastor, like, these, I'm not even preaching like your view of heresy here.
Right.
I'm just talking about like secondary theological perspectives that don't really affect what you would say would be like necessary for salvation if we're going to use real churchy words, right? So
you're like, I'm not doing that. So why aren't we good?
Right, right. Yeah. So that was the beginning, and there's a lot more to it, but you know, that's what happened. And yeah, it was painful. I'm grateful to still have three very close friends who, two of the people who were in that circle of four, you know, have been like just healing people, healing, you know, ointment to all the wounds. And I'm still working through it. There are days where I'm like, yeah, I don't feel anything. It's no problem. There are days where I'm like, I'm so heartbroken. There are days where I'm just pissed off, right? Like, this was unjust. This was an injustice that happened to me. But I definitely, you asked Kobe earlier, like, if I like have second guessed it, I definitely have not second guessed it. Not once. I know that this is like, if they were going to, remember, out loyal, right? I was never going to leave. I can live in that tension. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But if they're going to say that, then I make the choice, then it's not on me, right? And it's like, okay, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Yeah. So well, stuff.
We feel you. And
I'm sure.
And we're here for you. And
yeah, I'm not going to presume that Tim knows anything about us or our story, because I don't think you've read Unclobber. I think the last time I saw you tag me, you were like, I've never read it, but I heard this is a good book, which thanks, by the way.
That's right.
Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
What happened.
So in my first book, Unclobber, happened to have right next to me.
Nice.
Part of what I write about is our story of getting fired from an evangelical church because of our theology on sexuality. So when they discovered,
which was our only income and our entire source of livelihood.
That was it. And it was, so even hearing you talk, there's just so much overlap with regards to at that time, at least for us, it was like, but we're not actively teaching. I wasn't even actively teaching my position. It just sort of leaked out a sideways Facebook post. So I wasn't even as aggressive as you are. And I was still totally affirming like all the major church, like I agree with you. We're all in this together. And so I have a much different feeling about it. But at the time, my hope was that, guys, can't we like, I won't talk about this. I won't teach it. It's just, I'll keep it inside. And can I just keep my job and let's keep doing the thing together? Cause we agree on all these other things.
Right.
And I remember just being really, really shocked, kind of shocked that they, you know, that they ultimately are like, no, it's because you hold that thing between your head, that idea between your head that we need to, need to fire you. But now, of course, I look back and I'm like, oh, that would have been a disaster to try to stay on and do that, because we were on a trajectory that there was no coming back from. And
that's honestly how I feel as well.
Yeah.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
Yeah. The freedom. The Simpsons has been launched years ago. I mean, it's at some point we're going to just do this. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's good that you already feel that way. That's helpful. Yeah. That'll help you on your
It phone. Is. It is helpful, you know. And I mean, you know, my account hits the evangelical church pretty hard, so I kind of get it, because I'm like, I'm essentially clamoring for reform. Yeah. I'm saying we have to just reform this thing, like we're due for it, right? Yeah. So I get it's antagonistic to some, but the reality is, like, you know, the evangelical church, I'm pretty convinced next 10, 20 years will not be what it is now. At least theologically, it might be institutionally, you know, they might be having huge worship events still, but I think the theology is going to have to shift at some point.
Yeah. Well, I love what you're doing. I think it's so important.
It's so good,
and it's like I said, it's really touching me over here in my progressive world where I just don't really even think about evangelicalism anymore. It's helping me to remember to think about it, and that's good for all kinds of reasons. For my personal, I mean,
there's not enough space for us.
The world. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Can't we, that was going to be one of my like slogans at one point, was like more seats at the table. Like that's what we're advocating for. Yep. Right.
Yes.
Like there's enough room for us to be here, and we need the perspectives. Like we just need them. Yep. For anyone to assume that they have it figured out is like incredibly arrogant and prideful. And it's really amazing how much of that world like hinges on humility. That is really pride. Yep. Right. Like, totally. I don't want to believe this, but God's word is so clear. It's like, okay, you know, like, sure. Yeah. Right. You're speaking on behalf of God, and you don't want to speak on behalf of God. You're just the new Elijah, you know, just forced. God just making
me
do it.
I don't want to be this prophet yet. Totally. Right.
I don't want to believe in Calvinism. I don't want to believe that God is predestining most of the world to hell, but the scripture's clear.
That is clear. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, yeah. So I get it, guys. I'm with you.
So appreciate you.
Proud of you, man.
Can we do lightning round?
Let's do lightning round.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is how we wrap up our little show. Do we have
actually, I don't know if it's going to go there. I'll just do it this way. And.
Cool.
Well, do you think these
the buttons? I got the buttons to work. I'm 90% confident those buttons will work.
All right, this is how we wrap up our show, and every time the guest just takes it where they want to take it. So don't feel boxed in. Just whatever you want to do with your life. Favorite movie of all time?
Endgame.
Stressful, huh? Endgame.
Yeah.
Wait, what's Endgame?
Marvel. Avengers?
Oh. I'm so sorry.
I take it back. It's Infinity War. It's one of the two. So they're my top two.
Okay.
Awesome.
Good. That's a great answer. I'm sorry.
Huge Marvel fan over here. I dressed up as the
Hulk. I spray painted my body as the Hulk multiple times for the movies. I had
pictures.
That's
amazing.
That's
amazing.
There you go.
Self-care. Fill in the blank. Self-care is?
Healing.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
What is healing? How do you heal?
Taking time for yourself. I don't know. I mean, for me, it's just unplugging, you know, and getting some time away. So it's sushi with my wife. That is self-care.
I love that.
Yeah.
Something you're deeply grateful for right now in life.
I'm really grateful for the amazing people I've met through New Evangelicals community. Truly. Mm-hmm. That's like a completely sincere statement. 100% grateful for them. They're amazing.
Are you like starting to recognize names and actually have like relationships with some of these profiles?
Yeah, we do Zoom groups now. I just did one for deconstructing pastors. That was pretty powerful. We're all crying.
Wow.
We did one for spiritual bypassing, and we have more in the works. And we also have a private Facebook community that's totally free that people are just so kind on. So yeah. And I also have an advisory team now as well that I'm getting in place for this. So we're trying to grow.
That is so cool. Don't you just feel so much hope knowing that he exists?
I like Timmy Dubs.
Oh.
Okay, but don't let anyone call you that.
It can be our special little name.
What's your weirdest?
Balloons. I hate balloons. Had someone pop one in my face when I was a kid. Always been. I mean, I'm better now as an adult. But when I was
I'm
a
better
kid,
now. Better 30 years later.
It took a lot of years. A kid would hold them. I would always touch my ear like this. You know, like I. It's the popping thing.
That's awesome.
This makes me very happy.
You have kids.
Fast he said
yeah,
that.
He was ready. He's like,
yeah, I know right away. That's so bizarre.
Do you have kids right now?
Yes, he'll be a year in 15 days.
Okay, and I assume your wife knows about your fear of balloons.
It's a huge joke.
Okay, will there be like? Do you envision balloons in your kid's life, or is this a?
No. Okay. Probably not. Okay. only the like the tinfoil balloons that don't actually pop when you pop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right.
I'm cool with that.
So it's the popping balloons. Then.
It's the popping. It's the popping. Yeah, it's the popping.
All right. Who's a famous person that you swear you'd be besties with if only you knew each other?
I'm a big Travis Barker fan. He influenced my life sincerely as a drummer. So that's awesome. Think it'd be pretty cool, him and I, you know, hitting it up. You know, hitting the skins, as the drummers say it. No drummer ever says that. Don't ever say that to a drummer.
I love it. A book you think everyone should read?
There's so many. Okay, just one?
Yes. Well, I mean, you make the rules. You take it wherever you want to take it.
Jesus and John Wayne.
Okay.
Wait,
who did that one? Who's the author? Oh, he froze.
Uh-oh,
we lost him.
Come back to us. This happened earlier, and he said he can still hear us. I'm going to give it 5 more seconds, and then Tim just log right back on.
Oh, there he is.
I'm back.
Okay, sweet. Okay.
I was screaming, I can hear you. I'm like, I can hear you. I forgot the author's name off the top of my head. I have it on audiobook. I think I could pull it up. But
I thought Jesus I offended you deeply by asking you who wrote
it. No.
I'm not here.
No. I have it right here. Anyway, it's an amazing book. It documents Kristen Cobes Dumez. And okay. It documents the patriarchal history of evangelicalism with macho masculinity. It's like a nail in the coffin. Must read. And I'll also say one other book that I have to recommend is One Nation Under God by Kevin Cruz. It's a history of how corporate America took Christian language and made it a public thing for money. So the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, saying, do we have public faith? All that stuff, prayer in school, it's all corporate.
Wow.
Yikes.
That's important. Yep. That everyone should read that. That's really important. All right. This is our final question. It's what we ask everyone every week at the Kate and Colby Show. This is just the basis of everything we do. Holistic care for the soul. What's sustaining your soul right now? What's keeping you going? What's keeping you alive?
Family and new evangelicals.
Really? I love that.
Truly. Legit. 100% legit.
Yeah. So connection with other people.
Connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loyalist, baby. Need friendships. Community is my value. I'll find it wherever I go.
I love it.
That's really beautiful.
I love it.
Tim, this has been a delight. Thank you so much for staying up late. Tim's over on the East Coast, so it is very late for him. Thank you so much for staying up late.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you as a new friend in our lives. I hope we can keep connecting. So.
Only say it if you mean it. If you say the word friend, know who you're talking to.
She means it.
Because I'm connected. That's how I feel. You know?
Yeah. I'm not going to make any promises I can't keep.
Colby's like, not so much, but I'm like...
Kobe, I understand. Okay. There's empathy for you, my friend. If you ever need help with technical stuff, give me a call. So.
Awesome. Will do.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate
it. Tim.
Keep doing what you're doing. What you do matters. It's good. We need you. We being the larger Christian community needs you, but also those who are trying to figure out who their people are anymore and have found that it's not who they thought they were. They need these soft places to land. We'll be thinking about you in the weeks to come as you sort of extract parts of your life from this thing that you'd poured into for 6 years. I'm sorry for the loss. I'm sorry for the heartache. I'm sorry for what's going to come because it just might continue to get weird and rocky and messy. And that's going to suck. And I'm sorry. And I'm super proud of you, man. Proud of you for saying yes to the God in your gut and showing up in this way because it's good. It's good work.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the work you guys are doing. It's great.
All right, buddy. We'll see you later.
See ya.
So that is Timmy Dubs.
I'm not kidding. I'm going to go figure out how to be friends with
Tim. I'm really.
Can I?
That was moving.
I'm going to ask you this right now live on our show because it's in my head. It's important to me. It's my show. I can do what I want. Right. Can I record the intro for this one?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I have some things I need to say.
I'll bring you on in on Monday morning. Okay.
I love him.
Yeah.
That was really good for my soul.
Thank you. I hope those of you who are with us or who will watch this or listen to this later, if you haven't yet, go follow at the New Evangelicals.
Yeah, do. Let your world, let your life, let your chamber that you're trying to not be an echo chamber, let it have the good news of there are evangelical Christians who are not assholes that exist in the world. Let that be a part of your life and experience. I think that's so important. I think that positivity about the world and the movement of our country is really, really important.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's
good? I do.
Right?
I do.
Like
wasn't sure prior to tonight.
Right?
I was like, Tim, quit using that word. Move on.
I know. I'm totally sold on it, not for myself, but for a whole movement of folks. And when you were like giving him your last encouraging words and like saying so glad that like Christianity has him, I was thinking, I'm so glad our country has him.
Yeah.
Because as he named, our country's problems are things that are so entangled with Christianity, right? Like corporations took Christian language. That entanglement, like he's doing the work of untangling that. Yeah. And he should write a book called Untangle. Hit me up, Tim. I'll help you with that.
Untangle.
No, but I'm serious though. Like that's important work that's so good for our country.
Speaking of good work,
yay!
We have some beautiful folk coming up. So the next 3 weeks are already on lock.
These three humans will be
on lock. So next Wednesday night, the Reverend Emily Scott is going to join us and talk about her book, For All Who Hunger. So please come and hang out with us and Emily. And then May 19th, Tina Shermer Sellers, one of the most empowered humans that we've ever met, sex therapist and author, revolutionary in her own world.
The reason that people have good sex.
Yeah, that's not an understatement. And then our last show for this chunk, because then we'll take a little bit of a hiatus in June. Okay. Yeah, just for a few weeks in June. We'll be back soon. We just build in a little bit of these for camping and other things.
Oh, that's right.
But before we go on our little camping break, Paula Stone Williams is coming back to the show. She was our first ever guest, like, what, 2.5 years ago?
She did like this call in, and
the quality was all janky.
Terrible.
But
I'm excited to have her back now. Now that she's written her book,
she's got a book coming out and has really taken over the world. She's a dear friend of ours. So mark your calendars, people. That's it for us. We love you. Be well. See you soon.
If you enjoy The Kate and Colby Show, here are a few ways that you can support us. Subscribe to our podcast feed on whatever platform you use, and when you do, go ahead and leave us a review or rating. This will help others discover our show. Find and follow us on social media using the handle @KateandColby. And speaking of social media, we'd love it if you share our show with your friends. Everyone is looking for a great podcast recommendation, so help them and us out. Finally, if you visit us at kateandcolby.com, you can subscribe to our newsletter, learn more about us, the hosts, and discover great resources for coming more alive. The Kate and Colby Show is recorded in San Diego and produced by Holy Living Studios. Thank you for your love and support. We do this show for you, our pod fam. Until next time, be well.